the platform. Step up and speak out.
It is ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Larry Quiteray with the first edition of The Platform this year. This is 7th of January 2019. And it being just 28 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. I'm with you until half past the hour of 8 o'clock. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I'm hoping that you had a good rest period. And if you're going back to work now, at least hoping that everything went well. For some people, it's the first day of the year, and as far as work is concerned, a lot of us were working throughout. So yeah, it is what it is. As I said, it is The Platform, and just to remind you of some of the frequencies you can listen to us on: Chivu 99.8, Pipebridge 106.1, Mutarashanga 97.6, Nyanga 98.2, Gweru 104.3, Bulawayo, my hometown, 106.7, and we're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, it's www.zfmstereo.co.zw, and of course you can download the TuneIn app and you can listen to us live and in charge. Get in touch with us on Twitter at ZFMstereo, on Facebook, facebook.com/ZFM Stereo, on Instagram at ZFM Stereo ZW, and of course in the studio is 0731 168 045, being our WhatsApp number. Now, today's topic is essentially on the back of the fact that schools are opening tomorrow. And of course, at the time of the year, this year, the rush in order to buy stuff and, equipment for kids, whether it's textbooks, clothes, and if the kids are going away to boarding school, of course, you want to get food, whatever the case may be, all things that have to be bought. And there was a huge rush in town at the moment. But what a lot of people have been complaining about is the issue to do with the cost of living, the fact that it's become difficult for a lot of people to be able to afford things. Now, Zimbabwe has seen over the last couple of months an unabated rise in the cost of living. And before, a two-tier and sometimes a three-tier system that was there used to be sort of in the underground, but sort of gone into the mainstream now in some instances, with some brands charging what is quote-unquote a discounted price for US dollar cash. This has resulted in some members of the public facing increasing pressures on their wallets. For example, just having a conversation earlier, the cost of transport and so forth. So we're going to unpack a lot of that stuff with Denford Mutashu, who is the founder and president of the Zimbabwe Retailers, Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Larry. Good evening, listeners.
Okay, so before I come to you, speaking earlier on to ZFM Stereo, a comment today was the Acting Minister of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare, July Moyo, and this is what he had to say.
Government is an offer, certainly, and they will discuss, and they will discuss and agree, and they will agree on timing, they will agree on certain parameters, and the civil service on the trade union side, they can also offer many alternatives. For instance, if there is an increase, shall it apply to everybody across the board, or do we favor those who are impacted on, normally those who are junior, whose salaries are much lower, who are impacted on by the same conditions in the economy?
Okay, so of course, just to give you a background around that, teachers met with the government today to discuss issues around pay. Of course, some of them are saying, in fact, the demand is that they may be paid in US dollars or whatever the rate is with the RTS balances at the time. So first thing I want to ask, starting off with, because this is an issue that is not just affecting teachers. A lot of people will have been paid, let's call it $500 at the beginning of last year, are probably getting paid the same this year. So the increasing costs, you will acknowledge that the increasing costs are putting an incredible amount of pressure on people's monies, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a challenge, and Larry, if you look at, you can't then look at the salaries issue without tying it to the cost of living currently obtaining in the economy. And one of the critical questions right now, which is on most business lips right now, is whether the economy has re-dollarized itself. Of course, that question arises from the demand for payment of goods and services in the general economy, which is quite widespread in US dollars. And increasingly you have value chain players who may supply, say, to a big manufacturer, also doing the same thing, and that also then puts pressure on the retailer or the wholesaler, for example, who may have to also, in many respects, charge goods and services in US dollars. So this issue has affected the whole value chain, not only at the retailer, and on the part of the value chain players who may have to pay the goods and for the goods and services in US dollars. They have to find the hard currency from somewhere, and the only reliable market that has been consistently there is the paro market. But that obviously comes with a huge premium, and it is that premium that has actually then been borne by the consumer, because everyone has transferred that premium to the final cost, to the final price of the final product at the shelf. And in many respects as well, you may also have questions like what is then the fate of the Zimbabwean consumer? And when we are looking at the Zimbabwean consumer, generally, of course, we're looking at the cost of living at the supermarket level, where things have gone up, especially right now with respect to back-to-school products. Generally, you have stationery, uniforms, etc. All that has gone up. And, remember, these prices also went up just before Christmas. And because of the pressure that has been exerted by the demand, the sudden demand, we have also seen prices going up again just at the beginning of the year. And this, unfortunately, is happening at the background of salaries that have remained constant, stagnant rather. And in many respects, if you look at that amount in retrospect, as you take it out, for example, and want to equate it to the US dollar equivalent, it is actually deteriorated in its purchasing power. Because, for example, a blazer for a Form 1 pupil that used to go for about $55 around September, right now it's anything above $250 if you are using a bond note or you are swiping. That's the RTGS equivalent. You also have on the other hand, prices in US dollars on many uniform shops, which will range from, say, $5 to around $50, depending on the item. But generally, if you then look at some of those prices in US dollars, they've probably remained the same since a long time, since many years. But in retrospect, if you then look at those prices equivalent to our RTGS balances as well as our bond note, the prices have significantly gone up beyond the reach of the general ordinary consumer in the country. And if you also look at the costs, or rather the school fees generally, where certain schools have increased by 100%, fees that used to, say, go for about 530, other schools have raised the fees to, I think, around 1,250 for a pupil. So generally, the pricing in the economy is so distorted, arising out of the fundamentals that we have always been speaking about, say, for example, the general growth in money supply, which piles more pressure on demand as well as piles pressure on the demand for foreign currency, which is not available. I remember recently, one of the big beverage manufacturers had indicated that they were going to be charging their goods in US dollars, in hard currencies. And that arises out of the pressure that will be coming from their value chain suppliers who actually naturally are demanding payment for their raw materials in hard currency, and yet the allocation that should ordinarily be coming from the government through the RBZ has been dwindling, owing of course to the pressure that is arisen all of a sudden, the need to procure medical supplies, drugs, hospital equipment, etc. So we've got an economy which is facing currently serious pricing challenges, which would require to be addressed, of course, from the fundamentals.
So there's something that you say there, and do get in touch with us on 0731 168 045, being our WhatsApp number, and that is down to the fact that, how do we reconcile the fact that this is talking about, when we talk about the US dollar thing, that it's a payment that is asked for in a currency that is not readily available. So how is trade supposed to happen in that set of circumstances?
We have by default re-dollarized in a way, though not officially. But so far, that is the case in point, because it is actually quite a number of businesses, a number of manufacturers, suppliers of goods and services along the value chain, all of them demanding payment in US dollars, and hoping that the foreign currency or the hard currency is somewhere in people's homes. Unfortunately, it is not there. And even equally for employees, they may be justified in demanding a payment of their salaries in hard currency, owing of course to the deterioration in value of the bond note, as well as the RTGS against the US dollar. But unfortunately, it is not possible in the current circumstances for that to happen, because if you look at salaries, this is a direct cost, as it were, and rather expenditure, which is actually not directly linked to product, rather to which is not directly linked to production, as it were, even though labor is one of the key factors of production. But generally what we are basically saying, a company would rather then buy raw materials using the limited foreign currency available, just to keep the company, to keep the business going. Because if you then take away some part of that foreign currency for salaries, it actually may affect the viability of the business. But what we're basically saying is that what should be done out of the arising situation. Basically, if you ask me, Larry, it is the time then where we need to have a social contract. We've spoken about a social contract, and a social contract, simply put, is coming together of the key stakeholders that to the economy, for example, the government, business, as well as labor, in order to come up with an agreed position. For example, what basically some have suggested is that sometimes it is better to admit and agree that probably the 1:1 parity is actually not real, or owing to the challenges that have actually been observed on the ground. While, of course, on the part of the government, it is insisted that the 1:1 parity is real and it is in existence and it will continue because we are in a multi-currency system. But, of course, people, other stakeholders are also coming around to say, if it is 1:1, why is, of course, other government arms have had to demand payment in foreign currency? If the bond note is 1:1 to the US dollar, why can they not even accept payment in the same currency that is actually tradable, which actually has determined the budget, which was recently announced? We cannot actually then admit and say the budget on its own was or is a US dollar budget, owing, of course, Larry, to the challenges that we have, because it is not like that the finance ministry is going to be allocating US dollars to the various ministries in terms of the allocations. It is certainly going to be allocating the RTGS, and hence the insistence that it is 1:1. But unfortunately, the reality on the ground, Larry, is actually pointing other, to the other direction.
0731-168-045. The question I want to ask is, for you at home, especially with schools opening tomorrow, if there's something that that affects you, or even the situation, for example, where combis to Kwazana, for example, are $3 and sometimes even up to $4 per journey. How is that affecting your budgeting, and how are you trying to circumvent around issues to do with trying to survive, essentially? That's a key thing. Before I take a break, I do want to ask a follow-up question on something that you said, the idea of a social contract that we're talking about. The question that always comes back is that most of the people that will go and sit in the social contract are going to represent their own interests. So government will come and so will they with businesses and so forth. Where are the interests of the consumer in as far as this is concerned? And also looking at the fact that members of your organization who are retailers have people who are consumers of products outside their own businesses. Where do those people find a way to survive?
Well, a social contract, Larry, is a model which tries to mirror a representation of all the key stakeholders in the economy. Because, for example, if we say business, in its entirety, what basically we're saying is that we are going to bring in key representatives of various business sectors onto the table. And then when we look at labor, it is certainly going to bring on the table various players, various stakeholders that represent labor in the country. And then on the part of government also comes through as the biggest, one of the biggest stakeholders among us to this, because they are responsible for policy interventions as well as ensuring that they create an environment which will actually make the social contract work without, of course, impediments in so far as its implementation is concerned. But I think if I may speak about the issue of the transportation costs that you have just mentioned, it is actually something that is quite quite an issue for the general public in Zimbabwe, because currently, Larry, if you are going to pay say $3 for one way, so it's $6 for to and from work, generally on a salary say a scale of say $300. Apparently, that will amount to a bigger chunk of your salary. So basically, what is happening, Larry, is the situation on the fuel side, where so far a lot of vehicles, public transport vehicles and even corporate vehicles are spending a lot of times in a fuel queue, which is also a cost. And sometimes if you look at public vehicles, they have to resort to purchasing the fuel from the paro market, from the black market, which is also emerged, where there are some that are actually conveniently then buying the fuel and reselling to those that may not want to join and spend a lot of time in fuel queues. So that is a huge cost that has been caused by the disparities in the pricing, as it were, and the supply, as it were. So what basically would be the solution there is, one, we need a finality to the fuel supply, removing the fuel supply bottlenecks and ensuring that even those that receive the fuel are also practicing fair and equitable distribution, because we have received so many concerns and complaints from various stakeholders who are complaining that sometimes a wholesale station can siphon half of what they receive to the power market by actually selling the fuel to those that will be buying in drums and other containers, and of course starving the motorists. And sometimes it is also painful. Remember, there was also a pronouncement that was done by the PEMSEC at some point, where it was indicated that it is not it is actually illegal for a service station to say the fuel that they have, it belongs to the card holders. The fuel that they have belong to account holders, because fuel is a natural, it is a national resource. and it is being procured using national resources, like through the Reserve Bank, and the sense of entitlement then will actually distort the whole distribution value chain, where you get to a safe station and then you are required to have a card that you will never be able to get in these particular situations, because the process is now closed for those that have already acquired the fuel cards. So that is one thing. But overall, if you look at the demand, yes, there has been huge demand. I think it is about more than 40% in increase in demand for fuel in the country, and even on procurement. But it would actually, that demand can be curtailed if we are seriously pursuing having an efficient public transport system, which would actually be quite affordable and convenient for the general workforce whose salaries have not increased. Of course, you remember the times when we had ZUPCO or ZOC, and those times when people used to be ferried, especially those that stay in Kwazana, those that stay in Dwarase, Kwamfako, Simavuku, they used to actually board trains. And those trains could actually then come back, refurbish the trains, refurbish the railway lines, the infrastructure, and ensure that probably we actually have other people using alternative affordable transport system. As well as, Larry, finally on the transport issue, if you look at the Harare-Chitungwiza railway line, I think it requires less than 100 million for it to be constructed. What would that do if we were going to reduce the allocation that currently is going towards procurement of fuel, and actually commit some resources towards building or constructing that railway line, so that the people in Chitungwiza can actually then efficiently use that railway line for carrying people and goods?
Okay, it's FM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. Let's take a quick break and I'll come back. We're still talking about this issue.
One issue still remains unresolved. The issue of the teacher's incapacitation. So we'd like to the nation to understand that as we are here, we have not yet resolved that matter in this meeting. Although we appreciate the processes that have been put into place, but the truth of the matter is a teacher still remains incapacitated. And at this moment in time, we cannot vouch to the nation and say, come Tuesday, the same teacher will be at work.
I think the most important point is teachers are saying they're incapacitated, and that incapacitation still subsists. So I want to believe we'll go by that. And until we are going to meet as well as teachers and agree on anything else, that position should be standing. I want to believe that as far as the workers are concerned, we are incapacitated, and the best way forward is we'll only be turning up for duty 2 days a week, just like everybody else and the nurses are doing. We don't have any other place where we get extra monies from.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
Connect with CFM Stereo via Facebook on facebook.com/CFM Stereo.
Still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. Of course, that is the voice, two voices that we had heard there. Representatives, first of all, from the Zimbabwe Teachers Association, the Secretary General Tatsum Ganunu, as well as the Progressive Teachers Unit of Zimbabwe, Secretary General Raymond Majongwe. And they're talking about the standoff that is there between the government and incapacitation. And in the studio today, I've got the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, founder and president, Denford Mutashi, who are talking about this. And I suppose I will ask the same thing of you. And do get in touch with us on 0731-168-045 on WhatsApp. There's currently the demand by teachers and doctors that they want to be paid higher salaries or USDS, at least on the part of the teachers. They say if you can at least increase to whatever the rating is at that time, if you can't find US dollars. You gave the example of someone from your works for a retail company might be getting $300, and say they're from Kwazana and roughly $150 of that is transport alone. What Are you also going to be increasing people's salaries, or would you be encouraging members of your organization to increase people's salaries so that they too can be pushed against some of these increases that are not only from transportation but also among your members themselves?
It's really a challenge, Larry, and the general trend right now is of course that you have increasing cost of doing business and increasing cost of production, which is not leading to profitability for many institutions, for many organizations, because sometimes people may think that if a price increases, it means that there's high profits that are going to be generated. I gave an example of a refrigerator compressor, which we used to buy for 3,000 before September. But right now, it has shot up to about 8,000. So that is an increased cost to running that retail store, which the retailer has got to bear. So what we have encouraged, of course, though, is that at organization level, they have to also look at their own structure and their own costing structure and their own profitability structure. And where necessary and where possible, they may also find it a noble at that level to probably increase where possible. But a lot of the times we found that it is increasingly becoming difficult in terms of the operating environment. Just of course, giving that example of teachers, what I see there, Larry, is a case of us, always engaging in crisis management, because we probably knew that schools were going to open on the 8th of January when the schools closed. So probably the issue of negotiation and the issue of engagement should have set in when we noticed that the situation, the economic situation, was deteriorating at that particular time, especially if you look at the point from October up to the current point. Otherwise, if you look at January to around September of 2018, the situation was very stable, as it were, relatively stable, if I may call it. But otherwise, after October, we started noticing a lot of price spiraling, a lot of demand for payment in US dollars by service providers, by suppliers, by manufacturers, and even those that supply into the manufacturing and the retailers thereof. So that was, of course, is an indication of lack of confidence on the RTGS value, lack of confidence on the bond note value, because it kept deteriorating against an appreciating United States dollars in this current in economic environment. And if you also look back, the issue of demanding payment in US dollars, what we would like to categorically mention or even state is that, Larry, in this environment, it is actually quite a key, and it could be a very good move, but it is not sustainable. It is not possible, because what it will do is that it will simply lead to serious price spiraling, because what will then happen is that, for example, if a company has got to pay salaries in US dollars, they will have also to buy the foreign currency from the power market, because it is not available within the formal financial services sector, owing to the decline in lines of credit as well as the inflows. Remember, so far we noticed that gold actually declined by about 40% at some stage, and yet gold is one of the major sources of foreign currency in the economy. Of course, we're looking ahead to tobacco in February, where the tobacco season will open. Probably that may actually come through as a relief, because the foreign currency inflows will actually improve in addition to the current minerals that have been contributing enormously and significantly to the port. But again, we may have engaged in a de facto, rather default re-dollarization, Larry, but it is actually something that may actually get this economy to be much heavier, even the cost to be much heavier than they are right now. And probably the only way so far, Larry, is to try and do the best that we can and accelerate our quest and our focus on ensuring that we adopt our own currency, which should actually be backed by the fundamentals that we've always spoken about. And it is the right time that we need to focus on rebuilding our reserves, so that it will actually have a smooth launch of our own currency, because the continued use of the US dollar is always going to be a challenge for our economy, because it makes us uncompetitive. It has made us uncompetitive. It is the reason why it is difficult to compete in the region when we export, and our exports have been lending much higher than those that will be coming from other countries, and it is owing to that environment which is highly dependent on the US dollar, Larry.
Pursuant to that, the question then becomes, and I think you partially answered it, but I would like you to be clear on it. If we're looking at the aspect, Yakuti, the people, the companies cannot access the US dollars, for example, and the second part that you talk about, the building of reserves. The accusation that many would make is to say, companies will say, okay, no, hey, you know what, you do that, and you do whatever that is concerned. But it might be a case of companies saying, we want our costs, we want to pay for what we'd want to do is to be able to get paid in a stronger currency, but pay for services in something that is seen as weaker, and therefore creating some sort of arbitrage on the market. What would you say in terms of that kind of accusation?
Well, it's the situation that we have where companies have to pay for services or raw materials, etc., in foreign currency. It's not a situation that they have opted for.
No, we're talking, for example, in this instance, they say taxes, mm-hmm. and also, which you mentioned, to say some government departments are asking for US dollars when it comes to businesses that demand US dollars. And so certain services, for example, as well as salaries. So because the salary is the person we're talking about today, the person who's buying school uniforms today. Isn't it an issue that you want to be paid by that very same person who doesn't have access to the US dollars in US dollars? So, which is a harder currency, which is it puts you in a strong footing, puts you in a better position. But at the same time, wouldn't want to pay that very same person a salary in US dollars.
It is a fix. Like we are in a very, you know, it is a gridlock, if I may call it, a pricing gridlock, because on the other hand, when you have your inputs, you know, coming through in US dollars, whereas the product you are selling it in local currency. It means that there has to be a lot of, you know, you have to buy lots of calculators for almost each of your employees to make sure that you don't experience some losses, because you have to keep tracking the power market rate. Because what has happened is that your inputs are costed in US dollars, but you cannot sell the same goods that you manufacture after procuring the raw materials and other services in US dollars. You cannot sell in foreign currency. You can't sell in US dollars, rather, for the same product. So that then creates a distortion. This is why a lot of retailers and a lot of wholesalers right now have actually been piling pressure to say, why are we not allowed also to sell in foreign currency? Because it is actually not only a problematic as far as accounting for your taxes to Zimbra is concerned, but just to reconcile the fact that you have bought foreign currency from the parallel market. How do you then reconcile and explain that figure to a Zimbra official when they have knocked on your door? Because this is a transaction that is happening outside the formal business transacting. But in this case, it is actually, you know, formal by default. Because you can choose. That's what others have done. Some have actually chose to probably downsize, as it were, where you have a lot of companies right now. You've actually reduced the number of employees by ensuring that probably where you in a month you need 50 employees, you probably may ask 25. to work for 2 weeks, and then the other 25 will actually go and rest for the next 2 weeks, while those that were away will actually come to replace them. So it is actually a way of trying to contain costs, to contain, you know, the you know, ensuring that you remain viable and you, it becomes sustainable for you to do business. Otherwise, what we would want is a scenario where all of us, the government, business, and all the stakeholders that I've mentioned, should actually be looking at how we can continuously improve the environment under which businesses are operating, because it is that same environment that has led to even salary demands in US dollars, because apparently the US dollar is appreciated at a faster rate than the local RTGS balance. And that RTGS balance, which has continued to grow despite, of course, assurances that the money supply was going to be curtailed. But I think if you look at the time the budget was announced, I think it was around about 9.4 billion in RTGS balances. But as the year reached towards the end, it had actually surpassed 11 billion. So we wonder now, where is that money being created when we have committed not to create more money in the economy?
0731 168 0455. Someone says, if I may just ask, what ever happened to Zimbabwe's Standard Pricing Association of Zimbabwe? Is there such a thing? If it's there, are people getting paid for nothing? I've got a question based on that. I just want to read some more messages. Somebody says, Bono is a cause for concern. The Karambari in use to Charamba Tichingo Chema. That's a message that just came in here. Someone says Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland's currency is a parallel to the South African rand. Why then can't we just adopt the rand to run parallel with our own currency? It's like dreaming to say the bond will in any way be equivalent to the US dollars. That's Mandla Mpofu in Alistair in Nyamandlovu. Thank you very much for getting in touch. So I want to ask based on that. There are two issues that were brought up there. The issue of essentially, it's a suggestion of price control that somebody's talking about there. That's number one, because there's standardization of pricing. And number two, the idea of the South African rand. What would your position be on those two issues?
If you look at price control, it's more like price fixing, which we have seen on fuel. And those problems that we see on fuel will then escalate to almost every other product in the economy if we are going to, you know, to price control. It's ideal to get the economy to continue to self-intervene and self-price goods and services through demand and supply. And on the issue of adopting the rand, the last time we had a meeting with the authorities, it was indicated that there was a list. Of course, it was not made available to us. A list of demands that the government had to satisfy for them to adopt the rand. And the belief was that we weren't able to meet a third of those. Just like adopting the US dollar, I'm sure that is one of the challenges why we cannot officially re-dollarize, because it is indicated that the American government has indicated that you can use the US dollar ETC in the manner and form that we probably can be doing, but we cannot then use it or make it our official currency. So I think that is probably where another bottleneck is. And the whole issue of dealing with the bond notes, with the moment that you are going to deal with the bond notes or eradicate the bond notes, discontinue, demonetize, whatever. It is actually very simple to demonetize, because out of the 500 million bond notes, you can simply convert and then get them to add on to the RTGS balances. But the danger there is that what we will have is a scenario where we can't deal with, I believe we can't deal with the bond notes without having to deal with the RTGS balances. So you don't want to have a peaceful approach to the current issue, because the moment that you think of dealing with the bond notes, you have to deal with the RTGS balance. So going forward, I think, Larry, it is a case of then coming up with a long-term sustainable currency current position, where we are going to say if we are going to adopt our own, rather introduce our own Zimbabwean dollar, are the conditions preferable in terms so of
viable?
Is the environment viable, and are we really not going to come back to the same situation or the same environment that was created back then? Because for example, Larry, the situation is different from 2008, because so far the good thing was that we have got a functioning industry. All we needed was to just provide a bit of support and injection into that industry, into the business community, so that we can then get to a point where we are going to come up with long-term sustainable industrial development policies, as well as a trade policy which is going to guide how we are going to support the exports, how we are going to curtail and limit the imports, and which products are we going to import substitute, and which companies would require support. And I believe there was a time that I had a meeting with the Indian ambassador, and he was indicating to us that in India, for example, what literally they have done is to support and grow the SMEs, and in their own respective provinces, you actually then pick, say, a province. Out of each of the provinces, you pick SMEs that can actually manufacture, that can actually produce, that can grow a certain types of products, and then you actually then support them individually and grow them. Say if you choose 100 from each province and nurture them so that they can actually grow their own businesses in those localities. Because what we have seen is that this focus to start from the center is actually giving us more problems, because the demand for foreign currency for a big institution is so high, it's so huge, and yet if we can look at that amount of foreign currency in relation to an SME who can actually produce at that level and provide the support or the service to their communities, I think that model can also be adopted. So basically what we are saying, Larry, is a situation where we need to take a stand and take a decision, especially right now, Larry. It will be very difficult for us to craft policies for an economy which is actually more than 60% informal, while we actually want to police that informal sector using the formal sector policies or formal policies. So the gist of the matter then is to entice those that are in the informal sector and make sure that they also come along and be able to formalize, and help them to formalize without actually involving punitive. Of course, you can actually give tax holidays. You know, the issue of tax holidays, for example, or tax, accommodate them by asking them not to pay taxes, should actually apply more to the SMEs who are actually going to be coordinated, so that they can contribute to the national national production. Because the challenge remains production in the economy. And the moment that we are not focusing on production, the moment that we are going to actually have a piecemeal approach, for example, we have this entity complains or shuts down and says we don't have foreign currency, the next day the other entity will do the same thing. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to also do a presser and give them foreign or assure them? We want a holistic approach that actually helps everyone, no matter the size. But more specifically, Larry, we need to focus on the SMEs. Let's start from the ground. Let's start from the outer, rather from the peripheries, and help those SMEs grow peanut butter, honey, fishing, etc. There are so many projects that we can set. For example, I was listening to one of the videos from Kenya, where the minister was actually indicating that they were not going to buy police uniforms from out of Kenya. They were actually going to use the locals to supply police uniforms. This is the same situation that we are saying. The government supplies, industry supplies, the majority of those supplies must be local. If we are going to be wearing uniforms for nurses, those uniforms must be local. So that basically then reduces our burden in terms of the import bill.
Okay, 0731 168 045. Someone here says dollarization won't work. In 2016, it ran out. How will it not run out again? And what is the difference between the current bond and potential new ZM currency? I also think the RBZ has tainted its own image. Let me just read here. It says black market. Is it still a 7-year jail term? I was just trying to open this. The finance minister separated the US dollar and RTGS. That was the turning point. So bond and US are different currencies. For someone earning $300, it's tough because bond is not buying. Black market is still there, yet the 7-year jail term is in place. They are the ones changing the money and setting the rates as it is hard out there. Just going to read a couple of our problem is diverse. Talking about the bonds, where they're trying to solve the problem of change, but we in turn shunned what is ours and began to rate the greenback against the bond. Maybe this has to do with politics. So if RBZ can allocate US dollar to certain, why can't it just do the same? And as far as salaries, I don't know if my contribution is meaningful. Every contribution is meaningful. Please get in touch with us on 0731 168 045. It lends towards the conversation. And that is just the issue, isn't it? The fact is, the reason why we are where we are, which kind of creates the conundrum, is the fact that we actually ran out of US dollars. And therefore, when the bond came, it was to deal with, first of all, with change, and just for the ease of transaction, where there was the encouragement for people to use plastic money and mobile money. So I know you called it a fix before, but I mean, while I play these clips from these parents who are shopping, have a think around that. What do you think can be done? I know you talked about the social contract. Maybe that's the only thing. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
To change other people's lives.
And then I think kuti kana generation edukatidza kanyo dzidza zvobudiritsira tobona shandura nyika yedu ikurire chairi ma crisis ayo seiko zvino.
Pese takangoma tikuti transport varingotisa ma prices avanoda. Titi matake vana ma shop zviri kungoita zvazvinoda. Titi ma inform ema form 1 zvese ma school fees
zvinhu zvacho zvakaomesa ma inform acho atitokwanisi kana kumatenga. Vana vari sure vose ava votoenda vamwe vasina kana shangu.
Chinhu chokutanga ma uniforms then kuma school fees asati edu asi vakati vari kuwedzera mari dzacho asati aziva kuti dzakamira sei hadzo asi ma uniforms ndo anyanyisa kuti dhurira ndo atiri kuchema nawo.
The platform. Step up and speak up.
We're in the last 10 minutes of the show. 0731 168 045. Do get in touch with us. My name is Larry Kwedirai. It is The Platform, and we are talking about school fees. It's not just school fees, all sorts of things that have been affecting a lot of people. There's some parents and some kids there talking about how difficult it is out there. Do get in touch with us on 0731 168 045. We've been talking about how we unpack a lot of this. Denford Mutashi, who is the founder and president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, is still in the studio for the next 10 minutes. So before we went for the break, the reason why we got into this, because money supply ran out, especially what we call free funds. So how do we get our way around it, given the fact that what we're trying to say we're trying to fix is based on the fact that, in fact, the solution that exists was supposed to be the solution to the problem that persisted then?
So far, I think you may remember that the transitional stabilization program is focusing on ensuring that there is a reduction in the government, rather the domestic debt, as well as the budget, that budget deficit, which was largely financed through the issuance of treasury bills at some point. And what has since happened, of course, owing to the introduction of the 2% tax, I believe from around October, November, there was actually a zero deficit for those months. So that then means that there is probably there is willingness from the government side, if they're going to cut the wage bill, if they're going to remove the ghost workers, if really something like that happens soon, and ensure we save as much as we can, and what we save is directed towards the productive sector, it will be key. But I think what those parents have been simply saying or trying to illustrate, Larry, is that as a country, we need to provide social safety nets. In as much as we are in an austerity environment, but in the semi-austerity environment, it should not then make it so difficult for people to have a meal on each day and to have actually basic access to basic needs. So it is the obligation of every government to provide social safety nets and ensure that the people, especially if you look at education, if you look at health care, those are key key areas where you then have to focus and make sure that the provision of services and the environment under which such services are being provided is actually guaranteed and is something that is of a certain standard. Just like we have so far in terms of the back to school that we have been talking about, the education system, it is something that would be critical if we have, say, government schools from a fund or facility that government will guarantee or provide. You know, kids can actually go to government primary schools, for example, for free. And it was actually actually announced in the budget for 2018. But the implementation has not, taken center stage. So basically, those are some of the social safety nets, where you look at the underprivileged in your society. You look at those people that are not able to afford, and those people that are the disabled, the marginalized, etc. Those you need to also to look at them and provide. So, for example, right now, the safety net for the ordinary Zimbabwean when they fall sick is to go to a public hospital. But so far, if you look at the environment in which the public hospital officers or officials, nurses and doctors are operating, if you do not have the essential basic needs for you to be able to carry out your duty, then it becomes a challenge. So basically what we are saying, Larry, is that there is an obligation by the government through the announcement of the 2019 budget to provide the social safety nets. And just like we indicated on the issue of transportation, it is critical, Larry, because an efficient public transportation is critical, and its infrastructure is quite critical to the nation, where the people should actually we can reduce the number of vehicles that are queuing up for fuel. When people have to use public transportation, which is efficient, which is effective, say back then when we used to have the Zupco buses, after every 20 or 30 minutes, a Zupco bus is coming to pick, or at a certain stage it's going to drop me at a certain destination. So that is the sort of environment that we may wish to create, Larry, if we are going to actually come up with a long-term and sustainable solutions. Otherwise, what we have, the issue of the black market, which was mentioned by one contributor, it is still there. It is still in existence. What those guys have simply done is to create, WhatsApp groups and maintain their clientele, those that they have been dealing with. And what they basically do is just communicate, provide the foreign currency, collect the RTGS, the Zipit or through Zipit or whatever it is. It is still functional. It is still vibrant. Why is it still vibrant even though there's a threat of a 10-year jail? It is because the foreign currency is not available through the formal system. So you then want to strike a balance where you then offer a punitive action that one may actually go through when they have done something bad should actually be matched by providing an alternative market. For example, when you want to decimate the black market, you can't decimate the black market, the paraforex black market, when you don't have an alternative market. So you need that alternative market. And I'm happy the Minister of Finance and the RBZ have been working on something to make sure that and those with foreign currency can be able to trade it at a rate that probably is determined by that particular official market, which is probably going to be interbank, or I don't have enough information on that, but it is something that I believe the government is working on. Because so far what is happening, Larry, is that a giant mining company, when they have exported their minerals, they can still keep their foreign currency in their FCI account with the bank for as long as they want, no matter how much it is, because if as long as they don't have any need to use it, they can keep it. So what we want is probably to provide a platform where they can find an incentive to trade in using that which they have kept with the bank, so that someone who is in need can actually then approach that particular mining company through the bank and be able to secure the foreign currency.
Okay, I suppose for many people, I think the one of the bigger questions is, a lot of the businesses that say they want access to US dollars are telling us that they need this US dollars to go and pay for things outside the country, which essentially comes down to the fact that this money is leaving the country and is not going to get into circulation, which is another fix. But I know we could talk about that until the cows come home, but what I want to find out for the listener at home in the last 2 minutes of the show is how consistent are the engagements between business, in this instance the private sector, especially members of your organization, and government, as well as any other stakeholders, and as far as trying to find a solution to this problem?
We've been engaging, and the engagements actually increased in towards the end of last year. The engagements have actually been quite progressive. However, what basically should then happen is that out of those engagements, you then need to come up with a concrete position and a concrete roadmap, which then which each and every particular stakeholder in that engagement will have to follow. And what basically, you know, should then happen, Larry, is to focus on the deliverables, to focus on implementation, and then to focus on that which we are able to do. For example, when we speak about import substitution, Larry, we can identify quite a number of lines, quite a number of products which we can support, we can nurture, and ensure that, you know, we reduce the import bill by producing them locally. But again, the challenge is that what basically should happen is that environment under which the product is being manufactured, even after what we have gone the import substitution route, should actually be something that is conducive so that the product can be affordable. Because so far, even if you look at the cost of goods and services locally, you look at rentals, you look at all that, it is actually quite high. So when a property owner, where you are renting as a manufacturer, where you are renting as a retailer, has raised their rentals, or they have demanded payment in US dollars, it is a cost again. So generally what we need right now is to come up with an agreed position and resolve the pricing situation. And as the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, Larry, what we've also simply done is to organize a breakfast meeting on Thursday, which is going to actually involve quite a number of institutions. We have, panelists, economists from African Development Bank, ETC, and also the Reserve Bank, and many other stakeholders like your CZI, ZNCC, ETC. So basically it is a platform where we seek to engage and come up with a final position on the current pricing, because you cannot have in one economy other players charging in foreign currency, and then you don't allow others to charge in foreign currency. If charging in foreign currency is actually not allowed, then it should actually apply to everyone. Otherwise, these distortions and the dilemma that has been created should actually go.
Okay, that's it. As you can say, it is a very difficult situation. I think there are a lot of arguments across the board and as far as this is concerned. And thank you for bringing some of your arguments into the discussion, at whether you're at home, in FUOQ, wherever you are listening to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. I was in the studio with the founder and president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers, that is Dan Footman-Tasha. Thank you very much for coming in.
A pleasure. Thank you.
That's me, the first show of the year, and as far as this is concerned, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. And at the top of the hour, I was just trying to find, I don't think I can see Chilla in here. Maybe he's not here today. So otherwise, take care of yourself. I'm back with you, as I said, tomorrow. Stay tuned to ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. And as I always say, from where I come from, Silu Sesebenza, being a Bulawayo boy, take care of yourself and the people that you love. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.